Now the award for excellence in presidential news coverage by visual journalists. This award recognizes a video or photo journalist for uniquely covering the presidency from a journalistic standpoint, either at the White House or in the field. This could be breaking news, a scheduled event, or feature coverage. It includes a prize of $2,500. This year's award goes to Doug Mills, the New York Times, for this photo of President Biden boarding Air Force One in Warsaw for the journey back to Washington, D.C., after meetings and speeches about the war in Ukraine. The judges praised the photo for showcasing three key elements: action, composition, and feeling. They each also viewed the picture differently, agreeing that whether the picture is foreboding or optimistic, the interpretation is left to the viewer. Of the impressive batch of visual entries, they said this photograph best captured the news-making year. Please join me in congratulating New York Times photographer Doug Mills.
That was Lester Holt, anchor of NBC Nightly News, at this year's big White House Correspondents Association dinner. Doug Mills got an award at last year's dinner, too. Here's Karen Travers of ABC News.
The Award for Excellence in Presidential News Coverage by Visual Journalists this year goes to my dear friend, everybody's dear friend, Doug Mills of the New York Times. Of the winning photo, the judges said Doug Mills expertly captured an unscripted moment with President Joe Biden as he emerged from the shadows to celebrate the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act of 2022 at an event on the South Lawn. The image is striking for its composition, symmetry, and use of light. The president's expression and posture intensify the atmosphere with a sense of gravity, as do the gazing Marine honor guards who frame him. Let's congratulate New York Times photographer Doug Mills.
Doug Mills also won the award for excellence in presidential news coverage by visual journalists in 2020. No dinner in 2020 because of the pandemic. The White House Correspondents' Dinner is most famous for the jokes presidents and entertainers tell. But there's also a serious side: scholarships and awards. The association gives out only 5 awards every year. And until just a few years ago, those awards did not acknowledge visual journalism. So let's make up for lost time. Let's recognize Doug Mills' work before the Correspondents Association started giving him awards. In this episode of C-SPAN's podcast, The Weekly, we'll revisit a specific moment in presidential history that changed America and made many Americans aware of Doug Mills' legendary work. We'll remember, in Doug Mills' own words from his appearances on C-SPAN, what he saw and experienced covering President Bush during the terror attacks of 9/11.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
If you picked up Time magazine this week, this is the picture you're going to see on the cover of the special issue. It was taken by Doug Mills, who is the chief Washington photographer for the Associated Press and joins us this morning. Good morning, Mr. Mills.
Good morning, Kelly.
How was this picture taken?
It was taken under not normal circumstances, obviously. Pretty busy day up in New York with the president there visiting the firefighters and victims. A lot of pushing and shoving, a lot of yelling and screaming by local officials, law enforcement, Secret Service, everybody trying to make sure the president was secure in that area. Luckily was able to get up close enough with a lens, wide-angle lens, and capture the moment.
That was Doug Mills on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. It was September 19th, 2001. The picture he was describing, that iconic image of President George W. Bush standing over the rubble of the World Trade Center. The president is alongside firefighters and first responders, holding a megaphone and an American flag. Doug Mills also recalled what happened to him on 9/11.
Where were you last Tuesday?
Last Tuesday, we started out in Sarasota, Florida with the president. I was on the trip. We went down there on Monday. We were doing an education event.
This is a normal trip for you?
Normal trip. Quick in and out. Down with the president on Monday, overnight in Sarasota. Back on Tuesday afternoon after an education event. And then home, and then next day, back at the White House on Wednesday.
You brought with you a series of photos on your laptop that we're going to be able to show our viewers of things that you took over the week. Tell us a little bit about it. Just walk us through it.
Well, the day started out with that Tuesday morning. The president went for a jog, pre-dawn jog. I think he ran a little over 6 miles. Obviously, normal situation. Everything was the same. We don't jog with him. There were a couple reporters that did run with him, yes. And then we went to this education event. And as we pulled into the education event, there were cell phones in the motorcade that were going off. And people were getting calls about a plane crash in New York. We didn't know the circumstances that the plane crash was. We were told that it was a commercial airline. And that's all we knew. We went into the event, and everything seemed pretty normal. The president was there, smile on his face, chatting with the children. Interacting with the students, the teacher, and so forth. And I'd say about 5 or 6 minutes into the event, Andy Carr, the chief of staff of the president, walked over to the president and whispered something into his ear. It was only later what we found out is what he said, and he had told the president that a second aircraft had hit the World Trade Center and that America was under attack.
Here you're with the president in Air Force One?
Yes.
Went to
Louisiana first.
That's right.
Had no idea where we were going when we left Florida. These are the fighter aircraft that escorted Air Force One around that day. This is the president coming back to Andrews that late in that day. Once we were heading back to Washington, he addressed the nation that evening, and the next day a series of meetings with national security advisors. Congress, memorial services, and then on to New York. So it's been a horrific week.
6.5 years later, Doug Mills was back on C-SPAN, this time the Q&A program. It was March 2008, and he told more stories about what he saw on 9/11.
During that classroom visit, it was basically a trip that was going to talk about education, Head Start program, and the president arrived at that school, and by the time we pulled up to the school, we had heard that there'd been a plane crash in New York City and had no idea how big it was. And then Andy Card, during that event, which is very unusual, Andy Card, the chief of staff, walked over and whispered into the president's ear, Mr. President, a second aircraft has just hit the World Trade Center.
And he knows in this picture that it's...
He knows right there that this is a terrorist attack.
Did you?
We had no idea.
And where were you traveling that particular time? Were you with the president?
I was traveling on Air Force One with the president all day. We were going to do a stop in Florida, and I think then we were heading back to Washington. So immediately after he heard that, he made this statement here where he got pretty choked up about it. And the day just took off. I mean, it was just an amazing day. Straight onto Air Force One. We were not told where we were going. Nobody seemed to know where we were going. If they did, they weren't telling us. We were able to watch it from a monitor inside of Air Force One in the press cabin there, showing replays. And we were watching on the screens, you know, the Pentagon's on fire and the World Trade Center's on fire. So we were watching most of it. And this is here, the president was on the phone to the governor and the mayor of New York, discussing what plans they were going to do.
What kind of restrictions are there on you when you're in that room and he's on the phone?
It's very rare that we were up there in the front of the cabin with the president. It's very rare. It doesn't happen very often. But because of the historical day that it was, we were invited up. Andy Card invited us up there to document it. And this was amazing moments here when, you know, we landed at our first stop in Louisiana. Air Force One was surrounded by armed guards. Normally, we're surrounded by greeting crowds and supporters, and to get off the plane and see a gentleman stand there with a M16 or and a rifle. Not something you see every day.
So. What were your own thoughts at the time?
What's the next? You know, when we were flying on the plane, we were very concerned about what's next. You know, what is going to happen next? And you know, this was a moment which still you can't believe happened. We were flying out to Nebraska to Offutt Air Force Base in Nebraska, and we were looking out the window, and there was a F-16, and we were like, "What's that doing out there?" And they said, "Oh, they're following us or escorting us." And it, you know, just put chills through you, thinking that that's how serious this was. And they followed us all the way back to Andrews Air Force Base. And you could, I mean, we looked out the wing and you could see the pilots of the fighter's face.
That's now, can you send photos back to the New York Times from Air Force One?
I cannot, no, not yet. They have internet access on board, but not for the press.
So when did you get those photos back to the New York Times? And was there a website at the time?
I worked for the Associated Press during this time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. At our first stop, they took us here in Nebraska. This was the first time I was able to send some of the stuff. They took us to when he went into this underground bunker, they took us across to an auditorium in another conference room and let us use their internet access there. And we were able to send the pictures back then.
And a footnote to internet access in Air Force One. Here's Doug Mills last year, March 22, 2023, at the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library and Museum, a conversation about covering presidents and the presidency.
I was with President Bush on 9/11, and one of the fascinating things about what happened with the 9/11 Commission report was the reason that we landed in Louisiana to address the nation on the ground was because he didn't have capabilities aboard Air Force One to do that. And that was one of the things that the 9/11 Commission wanted to make sure that there was internet provided somehow to that airplane. So if he needed to address the nation aboard Air Force One, they could do it. And now that capability is there, even though that vehicle, that airplane is 35 years old, soon to be replaced. But still, now that capability is there.
And now a bonus clip. Think Doug Mills likes his job? Here's Doug Mills on C-SPAN's Q&A program a second time, December 2013, when the president was Barack Obama.
What's changed other than this technology?
Well, the technology's changed.
But what about on the other side, the people you're taking pictures of, what's changed on their side?
I think, let's see, that's a good question. I think looking at the White House, starting with Reagan, the administration, obviously just the security around the compound ever since, you know, before, and even 9/11 and before has changed. Every president is different. Every president is unique in their own relationship to the photographers and to people in the press. I have the best job in the world. I mean, to be able to cover the White House and Capitol Hill and then also do sports and, you know, get around. I'm very blessed. I got a great job.
And a rare second bonus clip. Here's Doug Mills on C-SPAN's Q&A a third time, January 2018, when the president was Donald Trump.
But it's exhausting, but it's great. I mean, it's very exciting. I mean, I love what I'm doing. I got the greatest job in the world.
Want to hear Doug Mills tell more stories from his years covering presidents and photographing American political history? Use the C-SPAN Video Library. Go to cspan.org, and in the search bar on top, just type in Doug Mills. You'll get great stories from a great photographer who has a great job. For now, thanks for listening and happy searching.